Are we starting?
Yep.
Hey.
Hey.
It's going good.
What do you think about that? Their paint color.
Yeah, we're looking at a paint color for the pod room. It's called Mossy Bench.
Mossy Bench?
Yeah, Mossy Bench.
Oh, I thought it was called
Mossy Branch.
Something not something that
better. Yeah.
But it's okay. It's a good color.
It looks cozy, y'all.
It is not British Racing Green.
I mean, we could go. It's not too late.
Did you like that segue, though? Did you see what I did?
Now we're going to talk about cars.
That's like a professional podcast segue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that wasn't actually what I was planning on talking about first.
A little quickly.
So, maybe
Ferrari
too
red.
Good.
We can have
maybe
an accent wall.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Maybe too good of a segue. Papaya. Speaking of Ferrari Red. Okay, here's another good segue. Speaking of Ferrari Red, do you want to get into the news? Because we got a lot to talk about this week.
This is the late night edition, y'all.
This is the late night edition.
It is like, I'm not going to check the time. I don't even want to look. But it's probably like past 9. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So,
we're doing this for you.
Yeah, for the fan. In the fan out there and the fan in us.
Yes.
Both.
Mostly
the fans. So, speaking of Ferrari Red, excuse me, there's a new CEO of Formula One.
Oh.
So, previously, old man Bernie Eccleston, who had run the sport for forever and turned it into the modern sport we know and love, for better or worse. Sold the sport to Liberty Media.
Oh, just sold the whole thing.
Right. And he stayed on as
like a consultant.
Yeah, he had some title, but it basically meant he doesn't have to
figurehead.
Do anything. Figurehead. Eccleston, by the way, is like 86 or something, and he just had a child.
Oh God, one of those.
It's one of those. He has
cool it, Eccleston.
Yeah. He has a 66-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had a child.
Like a baby.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, so
it's weird.
Bernie Eccleston sold the company to Liberty Media, at which point a man named Chase Carey took over. And that's when we kind of saw the new logo, the new sort of...
What did it look like before?
It was just a little different. It doesn't matter, whatever. Okay. But, you know, so the new theme song, Formula One, sort of began to appeal more to try to... The idea was Liberty Media was like a television company. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't a racing company.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Ecclestone was always a racer. It was kind of like as if Toto Wolff or Frank Williams kind of took over the sport and ran the sport.
Right.
So now Chase Carey, the Liberty Media guy, is gone. Excuse me again. And, Stefano Domenicali, who is a former Ferrari boss.
Sounds like it.
Right. Is in the helm as the new Formula One CEO. So, good, bad, we don't know yet. Gosh, I don't know why my throat, excuse me, hold on a second. So, good, bad, we don't know. We know that he's kind of a team player. He's a Formula One guy.
Yeah.
He has the support and the backing of people like Christian Horner, Andreas Seidel.
They're like, yeah.
We like this guy.
Okay.
We like this guy. We support this decision.
Okay.
Type deal. But... If you wanted to be a conspiracy theorist, and like this is a podcast, like
let's
what are we here
it.
For if we're not going to be conspiracy theorists, right? Now they have three former Ferrari bosses basically running the sport.
Sounds great.
So you have Jean Todt, who is like the FIA chairman. You have Ross Braun, who is like Formula One chief executive or something. And now you have... Stefano Domenicali, who's the CEO of the whole sport, Mm-hmm. So you have three, like the dream team of Formula One bosses. I mean, sorry, of Ferrari bosses mm-hmm. running Formula One.
Wow.
So the joke used to be that FIA stood for Ferrari International Assistance.
Yeah, right.
And that, you know...
Good one.
Right. There was a reason why Ferrari always has the rules bend in their favor. So if you really wanted to be like, start pulling strings and, or whatever the term is, you know, you could say, well...
Connecting the dots.
Connecting the dots.
Yeah, you think they'd almost be like careful not to look like they're favoring Ferrari since like, obviously they had past Ferrari ties.
Yeah, but what, unless... I do think it's a little bit of a conspiracy theory, like, because a good point I heard someone make was Ferrari has been the most dominant team in the sport for a long time, and a lot of really successful people have worked for Ferrari, so it would make sense that, like, people who have worked for Ferrari at some point would also work for Formula One at some point.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's not, like, a huge coincidence. And Stefano Domenicali also worked for Lamborghini, and he also worked for Porsche, and he also worked for Audi, and, he, you know, and...
Yeah.
Ross Brawn has also worked for Mercedes, and he also had his, you know, so it's right. it's a, it's just... cheesy to be like, oh, they're Ferrari guys, but it's still fun.
Sure, well, okay. You know.
So, anyway, that's part of the news. New F1 CEO, Stefano Domenicali.
Let's see what happens, I guess, if he does
things. Exactly, like reverse grids and all kinds of, like, exciting, potentially, you know, who knows, who knows. So far, it's a generally welcomed change.
Okay.
Certainly part of the news, though. Another part of the news was McLaren has a nose that looks suspiciously like the Mercedes nose.
Yeah.
And the only reason I really wanted to bring it up was because McLaren was especially outspoken about Racing Point's cheating by copying Mercedes.
Yeah.
Especially Andreas Seidel.
Mm-hmm.
And so their nose sure does look a lot like Mercedes' nose now. How do you feel about that?
I mean, how many different noses are there? I mean, it's, they're going to only make it so many different ways.
True, but you could look at, like, AlphaTauri's nose and Ferrari's nose.
Yeah, you
and,
don't want those noses, though.
Well, no, you really don't, you know?
Like, okay, we that's what we don't want.
Right. So it's true. And Renault's nose looks not... exactly like Mercedes, but you can tell the concept is similar, you know, so.
And this happened, like, after Mercedes. I guess they would say it's that they
independently
arrived. It's
been a mid-season development.
Yeah, okay, gotcha, gotcha.
So, that's part of the news, too. So, McLaren protests Racing Point's copying of Mercedes, and then
another day in
proceeds
Formula
One. To copy Mercedes.
Right.
Another day in Formula One. Renault have... decided to bring back Fernando Alonso early.
Oh, God.
Because...
I'm not ready yet.
No, I know. Not, like, in a racing scenario, but he's going to take over some practice sessions from young drivers, which is a little bit controversial.
Like, free practice?
I don't think he's going to do free practice. I think he's going to do testing sessions, like tire testing and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
I'm not exactly sure, but I do know he is taking sessions away from young drivers. At this point.
Okay.
And so, one thing it says for Renault that Alonso is probably excited about the pace they've shown in the last few weeks.
And
is like, I'll help you test that car. Put me in the car. I'll drive that car. Whereas at the beginning of the year, Alonso was like, we don't even need to worry about this year or next year. Let's just worry about 2022 when we can build new cars. So it's shown a little bit that maybe Fernando is more on board with, like, hey, I can score podiums next year. Mm-hmm. I can, you know,
why
compete.
Not?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that, and you've said that he's really good at giving feedback, so it might be pretty valuable, more valuable to have his feedback than some young driver.
Much more valuable. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so
I just wanted to, because I saw on the Twitters that Michael Schumacher's son was gonna do a free practice or something.
Yeah,
like that. Did
probably
you see that?
For Ferrari or for Alfa Romeo.
Just like Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
Just like for
Mick.
For fun, Mick.
He's a Ferrari young driver.
Yeah, he's in like
Formula 2.
Formula 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a really cute picture of him as a baby wearing a little helmet.
Cute.
It was cute.
Yeah,
I'm cute. I'm sure he just loves that.
I know, I bet.
They're like, oh, right. They always show the baby picture.
Yeah, he's like, thanks, guys. I'm all grown up now.
I know, like I'm a full grown man.
Yeah.
Did look very cute, though. But I guess they do that with all the young drivers. They're like, here's Lando.
Being a little baby doing his karting.
Tween.
Yeah. Karting. Yeah, exactly.
It's cute. I, for one, love it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, that's why they do it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of green.
Yes, yeah, I threw us off.
No, that's okay. But we were talking about green things.
We did at one point, yeah.
And I mossy bench. Wasted the segue. Mossy bench.
Speaking of mossy bench.
What were you saying about mossy bench? Oh, yeah, that's right. So Aston Martin has announced they will be British Racing Green.
Fun.
And I wanted to show you a picture of what that color is.
Yeah, and I think have I you have react. It in my head, and but I want to
You think
see.
You know, but it's a little bit more subtle than you think. So here's two different angles of British Racing Green.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that color?
Yeah, it's I thought it was darker. It's,
exactly.
It's
you
green.
Think it's a little bit darker, but it's pretty green. It's like a true greeny green. Yeah.
It looks great on a car.
It does. It's a very good car color.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good car color. So they'll be that color.
Yeah, it just looks like you're going to pull up to, I don't know, like a gentleman's
club,
but not like in America. With, you
like,
know, like
where you might play golf
where
or something.
There's like billiards and stuff and
lawn bowling
and leather
stuff
furniture.
Right, yeah. right
not a gentleman's club is what we would
no you need like a Chrysler 300 to go to an American gentleman's club. So that's news. And speaking of Aston Martin, Racing Point, who will become Aston Martin, they're currently Racing Point, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Perez says that they're hiding things from him since they've announced that he's leaving the team.
Well, yeah, because he's like dead wood. They're like, we're not going to tell you anything now.
I know, but that's a little bit unusual.
And it's like they don't want him to try and score points. I mean, they gave him like a...
Exactly.
They don't give him the upgrades anymore. They don't give
exactly.
him...
Exactly. So
they don't keep him in the loop. So like, okay, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Right. So... The situation at like Renault with Ricciardo, they obviously still want him to do as well as possible.
Right.
And at McLaren with Sainz, they obviously still want him to do as well as possible. But at Racing Point, now that they've cut Perez out, it's kind of like they've totally cut him out and the season's not over yet. And he's being kind of public about it and open about it in the media.
Yeah, I mean, they broke his contract too.
Yep.
I'd be a little salty.
Yeah.
And
so.
Yeah, when your teammate is.
So, yeah, and not to mention that they've been giving Stroll the updates.
Ugh.
And then
he drove
the updates into the wall in Mugello, and then drove the updates
he
into the wall.
And crashed.
It wasn't his fault
but
in Russia.
But it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
It was Leclerc's fault.
Neither of them were his fault.
Okay.
Yeah, but the updates... Well, the thing that's unfortunate about it is not that it was Stroll's fault, but when you have updates in Mugello, you are waiting for the next week to have updates for the other car.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wreck the
right.
car with
Why
updates...
Why don't you just do both cars?
Because it takes time to develop updates. You can only update one. We
so
develop...
that's normal, just doing one car at a time? Okay.
Yeah. So, And sometimes they'll do that intentionally to be like, let's put updates on this car and not this car and see how it goes. You know,
mm-hmm.
see the difference in the mm-hmm. cars. Do the updates work? How
if
do they work?
If the drivers are on par with each other.
If the drivers give good feedback and are on par with each other, exactly. Yeah. So, Racing Point, another thing going on at Racing Point, I'm talking a lot about Racing Point. They hired Michael Jordan's former marketing director, and normally I wouldn't put that in the news, but we just watched that Michael Jordan documentary.
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance. And so I was thinking, Michael Jordan and marketing are like
it was good
hand in glove.
Yeah,
you
right.
know?
I know. That's he is marketing. A brand. Yeah.
He is a brand. Yeah. He's and done so very for well Racing Point to hire the Michael Jordan marketing
they're
director
be,
is
like very flashy and cool.
That's what I'm
like,
saying is they're making
Aston
a
Martin
splash.
And
yeah.
Little Sebbies.
New factory. You know, new headquarters, I should say,
oh,
right? They're building an entire new headquarters.
Where?
No, it's not a new location, but they're building a whole new headquarters, new wind tunnel. They're building their own one. You know, they're Lawrence Stroll's in it to win it. That guy doesn't do things to be bad at them.
Yeah.
We might despise his son, but Lawrence himself is not a failure of a person.
Yeah.
You know?
He's fine.
Yeah.
I just need to, you know, fire his son.
So in other news, Hamilton wore a t-shirt last week that said, "Arrest the cops that shot Breonna Taylor."
Yeah.
On the podium after he won the race.
Nice.
And the FIA was like, "Oh no, should we like make a rule where you can't do that?" And so they've yet to decide, basically. So that's news
like
too.
Like slogan, you can't make statements.
Well, it's not so much that they want it to be anti-political or not. They're just like don't want to open a can of worms. Like if anyone can wear a shirt that says anything on the podium,
just like
who
Kimmy
knows what?
And,
yeah, exactly. Or
like,
Antonio.
I like butts or whatever.
Right.
Who knows? I don't know if he likes butts.
He might not be a butt guy. He might be a leg guy.
Yeah,
you
probably.
Know?
I don't know. Fins, I don't think they're... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They're more like... They seem more like eye people.
Yeah. You know, they're
like
winter
like
coats
that.
And stuff. You
yeah,
can't
so
really
they're like...
See
exactly.
Bedonks.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know.
So Hamilton wore that shirt, and that was a big deal. So that was in the news. But that was last week, but we didn't talk about
it last week. Yeah,
but,
I saw a picture of him wearing a shirt.
But it's still news this week because the FIA is still kind of deciding, like, we have to, like, say something.
Yeah, they take their time, don't they?
Yeah, we have to do something about this. So we'll see what they do. Haas has been in the news because they made some statements about their drivers. They have, like they said, they're considering as many as 10 drivers for their car.
That's right. So it's going to be like the Bachelorette, like.
Yeah.
All the, you know, they're vying for the spot.
Right, exactly. Perez.
They should make it into a reality show. That'd be great.
Well, it basically is now with
Drive to Survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they'll have
But you don't get to watch it in real time.
Yeah.
So. You have
I
to wait
watch
like
the
a year.
Train wreck
I know.
As it happens.
Well, Perez is a leading candidate for a seat.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But Günther Steiner said that he's not a no-brainer. But that basically
doesn't mean he just likes to insult people.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean anything because, like, if you're in a negotiation with someone over a contract, are you going to say something like, "Oh, yeah, we really want Perez. We'll do anything for Perez. We definitely like Perez. We really want him." And so his manager can just be like, "Okay, give us 3 times as much money."
Well, you could be like, "Wow, I really respect him as a driver. You know, I think he's a great driver, but we have a lot of great candidates."
Well,
and
he
like,
said stuff like
okay.
that too. He just said
like,
it's
not a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's not a no-brainer at this point because I think a lot of people think it's obvious that he's the best driver.
Yeah, who else?
To Hülkenberg and Magnussen still is a consideration because Magnussen's legit and I mean oddly Grosjean. Anyway, a Ferrari junior driver, because Ferrari have 2 who are in, like, the top 3 of Formula 2 right now. I forget their names.
Wow.
Shoot, I forget their names. I knew their names at one point. One of them has, like, a German last name, and I forget their names. But Ferrari has 2 young, very talented Formula 2 drivers, and since Haas takes Ferrari engines, they could, like, organize a deal similar to Alfa Romeo has, where they're like, "Hey, we'll put one of your drivers in the car, and you give us a fat discount on your engines next year, and then it saves us money, and you get a deal, we get a deal, you know."
Haas. They probably need to, like, cut some corners.
Right, so that's a very likely scenario, too.
That'd be fun. It'd be fun to have someone completely new.
Right, a young rookie. It could be Perez and a Ferrari Jr., is
wow.
likely.
Yeah, completely different. It would be, I'd be sad to see K-Mag go, but.
I would too. So I think that's it for the news? Let's see. Let me scroll down here. That's it. That's it for the news. I was going to tell you a little bit about the track. Sochi.
Okay, I was like, where did they... Where did
I know. Sochi. Sochi.
It was like 2 days ago at this point.
It was remember. 2 days ago. So we're recording this on Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. Full disclosure. Night. Late.
Sochi is a tilkadrome designed by Hermann Tilke. So it has many of those classic features, meaning long straights, heavy braking zones, right degree, 90 degree turns. It also has one of these very bubble-like turns, and I'm going to show you this turn because lots of Tilke tracks have a turn like this, and it's so obvious at Sochi. See this just big bubble turn?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
it looks like a little building block, like a little block, kids block.
Anyway, yeah, it's a copy and paste of Turn 8 from Turkey, where we're going back this year. Because Tilke designed that track, and that turn just became so popular because it's this long, just, wow, really fast, really high G-force turn where the cars are really put on their limit for a long time. And everyone was like, wow, turn eight, that's such a great turn that Tilke just like copied and pasted it onto all of his other tracks that he designed after that, basically.
Okay.
So there's like one in Austin, there's one in Sochi, there's like one in all the tracks. But anyway, so that's one of the things I wanted to point out. It is a street circuit. You asked me that and I incorrectly was like, no, I don't think so, but it is a street circuit. It's designed around the streets of the Olympic complex.
It looked, because there was like an auditorium, or it looked like there were buildings and like landscaping and stuff.
Right, so the walls come right up to the track.
Yeah.
At most points of the track. And then there's some runoff areas.
Yeah, well, as we know.
Yeah,
plenty of runoff. That they tried to mitigate, strangely.
Besides that, some of its main features are that it's super boring.
Yeah, everyone was saying that. And then it was.
And then it was. The reasons are it's difficult to overtake, mostly because there's just right hand, these 90 degree turns are just, there's not enough braking to overtake through them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very long pit lane, so you're encouraged to just do a one-stop strategy because every time you stop, you lose so much time. So it's a real tire management race. Because stopping wastes so much time. Yeah, so on top
really
of the
get
fact,
the viewers tire strategy.
Yeah, so it's like a killer combination. It's like a perfect storm because it's a low tire degradation track, so the tires don't wear out. It's difficult to overtake, and the pit lane takes forever to stop. So it's just going to be a long tire management one stop race.
Wait, how is it both a street circuit and a tilkadrome?
Because Tilke designed the track in the streets of
Okay, yeah. I guess, yeah, it's pretty, like, they built it all for the Olympics.
So is Singapore.
Okay.
You know, right. So it's like, yeah.
Do people call it slow chi? Because it's slow.
Oh my God, I bet they do. That's a good joke
more
if
like
they don't.
Slow chi.
Yeah.
There, I did it.
So in qualifying, Hamilton almost didn't make it out of Q2, remember?
Yeah.
Because Vettel shunted, like, really hard.
Yeah, Vettel crashed and picked up his little front wing.
Yeah, he did. Helps. He was like, I'm gonna help.
Yeah, oh, good boy.
Yeah.
It did. It really, I was just like, oh.
This is a good little German lad.
I know.
He's like, I must clean up.
I know. I love, yeah.
I made a mess.
Hiding. I know. It's precious.
Yeah. But so Hamilton barely made it out of Q2, which was part of the exciting part of qualifying, that he had to go around, literally had to like race his way out of Q2 almost, because he barely made it across the line in time to do one more lap.
Right.
To set a lap that was good enough to get out of Q2. But then, by the time he made it into Q3, he was on pole by 0.6 seconds. So he smashed it. He smashed qualifying, which is, we'll get into this a little bit later, but when Bottas is like, to whom it may concern, you know, and you're all like, oh, you did so great. Like, let's start on Saturday. Like, Bottas got smashed on Saturday.
As per usual.
Well, actually, on Saturdays, Bottas has been okay.
Oh,
He's been a lot closer to Hamilton on Saturday than he has on Sunday.
Oh,
on Saturdays, Botas has been consistently a thousandth, you know, or maybe even out-qualified Hamilton a couple of times, you know? To be, like, over half a second slower than Hamilton was, like, that was a huge gap. You know, he just got smoked on Saturday. So, anyway, we'll come back
Botas. But then, yeah, Hamilton, he was doing illegal things, though, apparently.
Oh, that's true.
But did so that, Hamilton, would that have affected his lap time, or is just like he started at a weird place?
He just did two practice starts illegally.
Yeah.
And got penalized for that.
Okay, so he's still like, yeah, his lap time was...
It did not affect his lap time.
He would have qualified the same if he had started in the right place.
Yeah, because at that point, he was only just doing practice starts. You don't set your qualifying laps from a dead start.
Well, then why did he start them at such a weird place if they didn't even matter?
Because he was trying to get a feel for different grip.
Oh.
He was trying to get a feel for, like, raw grip instead of, like, the grip where everybody started from because they lay down a bunch of rubber. So if everybody starts from the same place, they lay down a bunch of rubber, and then the grip is artificial.
He's like, I'll just start over here.
Yeah.
Where no one is. It's so weird. Why isn't anyone over here?
I know. We'll come back to the penalty in a second, because I do want to talk about that.
We'll dig in.
Verstappen said that it was maybe his best qualifying lap of all time.
Oh, wow.
He said that himself. He split the Mercedes. He was in second. He out-qualified Bottas.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he was over a second faster than Alex Albon. Over a full second faster than Alex Albon. Which is just, we'll talk about Albon when we get to Red Bull, but yeah, woof. That is hard. That is tough. Speaking of being a second faster than your teammate, George Russell was in Q2 again.
Mm-hmm, again. Good for him.
Over a second faster than Latifi.
Yeah, Latifi was his make in caboose.
I mean, that's position. A lot. That's a lot. That's embarrassing. When you're... I mean, here's my weekly sim racing reference, right?
Okay,
Here we go. Everybody take a drink. When you are racing somebody, or you're like, often what you'll do to try to get better on a track is you race what's called a ghost. You familiar with this concept?
No.
The ghost is a non-real car that just floats around the track, like kind of translucent. And it goes at a certain pace. So if you're ahead of the ghost, you know you're going faster than that pace.
Mm-hmm.
If you're behind the ghost, you know you're not on that pace, right?
Right, I see.
And so you can select other people's laps from the internet. You can be like, this guy did a 138.2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch his ghost and race his ghost or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my point is like when you're a tenth or two tenths behind someone, that feels like a lot. You know, that's measurable. That's like a several car lengths. Like that guy's way in the distance, like two tenths, three tenths. That's like, I'm way slower than that guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a second slower, you know, that car is like, I don't know where I'm going with this besides just like, that is like leagues. You're in a different league.
I mean, I think it's good you're talking about this because as someone who's new to Formula One, it is still something I'm getting used to is like, you'll be like, oh, he was 6 tenths ahead. And I'm just like,
that's an eternity.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, that sounds like not a lot. It's hard for me to, because I don't do any sim racing to realize like what's a lot and what is close.
Oh my gosh, yeah. one second and two tenths in a race feels like an eternity. One thousand, you know, all that time to go hundreds and hundreds of meters when you're traveling hundreds of miles, kilometers an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
He crosses the line and then one thousand, and then you cross the line, you're like, that guy's... Especially over the course of just one lap.
Right.
You know, he made up all that distance in 12 corners or whatever, you know. So.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, and then Perez out-qualified Stroll. So, that was the last bit and he out-qualified Stroll with lesser equipment.
Right.
Theoretically.
With the reject car. Well, wouldn't it have been like he would have gotten the updates by now?
No, because Stroll wrecked the updates in Mugello, so they only had one set of updates.
He fluffed it.
in Sochi. So they put the updates on Stroll's car again. So the qualifying battle as it stands is Hamilton 8 to Bottas 2. Mm-hmm. We have had 10 races. Leclerc 8 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
Verstappen 10 to nothing.
Oh, no.
10 to nothing over Albon, and by a lot. Sainz 6 to 4.
Pulling ahead.
Pulling ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
Ricciardo 8 to 2.
Okay.
He's pulling way ahead. Gasly 9 to 1.
Wow.
Great year for Gasly. Great year for Gasly. Stroll 6 to 3 to 1. Because he raced one race against Hülkenberg and was outqualified. Raikkonen and Giovinazzi are tied at 5. So there's that. Magnussen and Grosjean are tied at 5. So there's that. And then Russell, of course, 10 to nothing because he has yet to be outqualified.
Have
in his entire career by his teammate, that is. Yes, you correctly added to that your caveat. He's yet to be outqualified by his teammate. Of course, he is outqualified by 19 other drivers.
Like every race.
Every other year. Yeah. So anything else before we get into the actual race? We got about 10 teams to talk about. Qualifying news, paint colors.
Let's do it.
All right, so I didn't go Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari this week.
Finally broke free.
But I did go Mercedes, Red Bull. So the first team I'm talking about is, of course, Mercedes. I said Bottas wins, or rather Hamilton loses. After serving not one but 2 5-second penalties for illegal qualifying shenanigans, Hamilton does manage to fight back through the grid, of course, and finish on the podium.
Yeah, wow.
So the question remains, how much credit to give Bottas after another "to whom it may concern" message?
Not a lot.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, he does okay. Yeah, he's like a solid driver. Like, obviously he doesn't make many grievous errors and seems like a reliable guy, but he's just not... Yeah, I mean, to think that he's on par with Lewis Hamilton, like, that's silly.
No, he's definitely not on par with Lewis Hamilton. I think the thing that rubbed so many people the wrong way about this win was that when he came out with his first, like, "to whom it may concern, FU" statement, that was, like, a much more legitimate, like, win. Even then,
and it was like the
there
start
was
of a new
questionable
season, wasn't
yeah
it? Like, it was like, oh yeah, like, just wait, like,
Bottas
just see
2.0 and
yeah
all that, you know,
and that didn't so, it was like midway through, like, you're not obviously
right,
not
right yeah. So, and this one he really just, like, kind of lucked into, like, Hamilton. There's a little bit of discussion about Hamilton having to start on the soft tires and how they weren't going to last, and maybe Bottas would have ended up on the better strategy anyway. Mm-hmm. There's a tiny question of that, but Bottas has never shown that even with an alternate strategy to Hamilton that he's been able to beat Hamilton on the road. You know, it has to work out for him strategically, because he never, like, just overtakes
Hamilton.
Yeah,
he's never just beast moding. Like,
I'm just going to drive by Lewis Hamilton right now because my tires are better. Like, when was the last time you saw
that
happen?
That
doesn't
happen.
So there's a little bit of that discussion, but not much. And so I do think that Bottas is a good guy. I like Bottas. I think he's a great racer. I have nothing but good things to say about his racecraft and his love for the sport and everything like that. I do think that he's gotten into, like, a weird headspace.
Yeah, but stop reading the comments.
Instagram.
Bottas.
It's like public knowledge now that he responds to his Instagram haters.
Oh, that's so cringy. Like, don't do that.
Like, people are Instagramming him hate, and he's like, I'm here to win, brother. I'll never give up. I'll never quit.
I'm just imagining
you
his girlfriend being
kidding
like, babe,
me?
Like, just put the phone down.
Oh my god, you're trying
like you're
to
rich,
win.
You're a rich Formula One driver driving for Mercedes. Like, you don't
all
have
he needs
to respond
to, tweet,
to,
I know.
To trolls.
All he needs to tweet is like, I'm just gonna go get in my Formula One car now.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go drive donuts
with my Mercedes company car in my
living my best life yeah. in Monaco.
Exactly.
Like
with my Olympian girlfriend or whatever, whoever she is. I mean, he doesn't even have to brag on people or whatever. That's not a good headspace either. Like yeah. he's just like
ignore it.
Yeah, you have to be such a mentally strong character to be a Formula One champion, and I could never imagine that someone like Lewis or Michael Schumacher or Max or someone like Sebastian Vettel would be like going back and forth with anonymous Instagram haters because they said that they should quit. Oh, you should give up. Right. No, I'll never give up.
Right, but it does, I can't appreciate that it would be difficult to like be Lewis Hamilton's teammate. And everyone's yeah, just sure. like, good job playing the second fiddle, buddy.
Oh, I don't doubt he gets a ton of hate.
Yeah, well, it just like, well, also just everyone assumes like, oh, well, you're just here to like kind of like help Lewis mm-hmm, out or do, mm-hmm. you're never, I mean, yeah, like, well, you're not really a contender. You're just like yeah. kind of there. But then if you're a Formula One driver, you're like, your nature is like very competitive and
sure.
very like, you know. So, yeah, I'm sure it is probably kind of a awkward place to be in, but at the same time, like, just count your blessings. Like, you have a great life.
And just, you gotta get into some kind of different headspace if you're gonna want to beat Lewis Hamilton. You have one of the hardest jobs in the world. That's right. Beat Lewis Hamilton in a race. Mm-hmm. In a car race.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be mentally sharp to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't be cursing at your critics and mm-hmm. your haters mm-hmm. and, like, responding to anonymous Instagram posts and worried about that. You need to be worried. Here's a little anecdote.
Oh, fun.
Okay, so Nico Rosberg, the last person to beat Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
And by the way, Nico Rosberg, for what it's worth, beat Lewis Hamilton and Michael Schumacher as teammates.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty darn good. Now, Michael Schumacher was at the end of his career and all that, blah, blah, blah. But Nico Rosberg bested two of the two best drivers of all time, mm-hmm. basically. And so there's a lot to be said for Nico Rosberg's like work ethic and mental game,
mm-hmm.
specifically his mental game. One of the things I remember reading about Nico was that he went to the extent to where he got the stitches turned inside out on his gloves so that he could feel the clutch pedal better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you brought that up before.
Yeah, I think so. I think
he sleep with his wife.
Yeah, he wouldn't sleep with his wife so he could be on like the sleep schedule of the, you know, because yeah. he would have to like sleep at odd times because we're going to Abu Dhabi next week, so I have to go to sleep at this time and wake up.
I wonder about that. It seems like it'd be really hard.
It just doesn't seem like Bottas is like quite there.
Right.
Mentally.
Yeah, not he's on Instagram.
Yeah.
At all.
I have a feeling that Nico Rosberg probably wasn't like looking through his YouTube comments.
Yeah.
Anyway. So
just
now
a
the question.
What is
what?
For, I don't know what the saying is. Just a little, some, our 2 cents for Bottas.
Yeah, that advice is for you, Bottas.
Yeah. Matt's just chugging his energy drink.
Well, you know, I have to drink it quickly in between segments.
Your hot takes.
Yeah. So now the question is there a championship fight?
What?
Between Bottas and Hamilton now that Bottas has won a race.
No, hasn't Hamilton like already won?
I mean, he's 44 points ahead of Bottas.
How many points do you need to get the championship?
You just have to finish with the most. It's not
towards the end, it's like it's impossible.
Right, it becomes mathematically impossible at some point for the other person. Yeah. So, yeah. So, no, I don't think it's a championship fight.
No.
I think that's silly. We could not talk about that. Lewis said that the stewards were out to slow him down. That's another kind of bit of Mercedes news. We're talking a lot about Mercedes, but they're sort of the main story.
Well, yeah,
because of the penalties.
Yeah, it was strange how they came out with the penalties like the next day. To me, it did seem shady at first, but then like you were like, no, it's like obviously they broke the rules. So.
Yeah, I'll admit that what I've heard about the way that the penalty process like transpired sounds a little shady, like how there was a Finnish steward and Finnish TV reported the penalties before the FIA reported the penalties and stuff. Like maybe the Finnish reporter was like texting or calling his friends at Finnish, his Finnish reporter friends. The Finnish steward was leaking information and stuff and trying to sensationalize the penalties for Finnish reporters. And so it got like a little out of hand or something maybe, because when they first reported it, it was really extreme, and then they back down, and then they back down, and then they back down. Like, they reported penalties the next day, and then were like, no, never mind this, no, never mind this. Like, if at first they were going to give him points on his license, you can get points on your license. Oh my god,
I thought the penalty seemed kind of extreme already.
I know, they were going to go even more extreme.
Wow.
Yeah, so there was a little bit of speculation, like, if people are hardcore Lewis Hamilton fans, they're like, these guys really are especially hard on Lewis. And to some extent, if what I've heard about the penalty process is true, then maybe they are like, yeah, you know, this guy doesn't deserve to get away with anything just because he's Lewis Hamilton. And like, so there's a little bit of like, maybe. I mean, goodness gracious, like maybe. But what I do know is that he broke the rules.
Yeah.
And there's clear rules that say, like, you can't do that. Which is kind of funny because Lewis was like, where's that written in the rule book? And it would have been so easy like for Bono to be like, Lewis, it's regulation 19.2. Because that's what it is.
Yeah, right.
19.2, Lewis. Keep your head down.
But I guess the punishment is at the discretion of the stewards.
Well, that I don't know. Maybe. If the punish, because it might be, if the punishment is at the, that's a huge question. I just don't know the answer to, because it might be the punishment is up to them. I guess so, obviously, because they could have done this and then they could have done that. But, ooh, hit the microphone. That's not good. That's a rookie podcast move.
We're beyond that.
But, okay, so all of that aside, Lewis.
Carl.
Don't say the stewards are out to slow you down, man. Now you sound like a conspiracy theorist.
He is a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, like, goodness gracious.
But your words have weight.
Yeah, Lewis. You can't legitimately really think that. Like, come on. You are more important. Like, that's why I'm...
He's just being a queen of drama.
I know, and honestly, that's why it is important that when his words do have weight, and, like, he can say important things, and they're important, but when, like, with great power comes great responsibility or whatever, because when you spout a bunch of nonsense, then people listen to that, too.
Yeah.
You know, and, like... You can't legitimately go on TV and be like, the stewards are just trying to slow me down, man. They just don't want me to win. You know, like, is he insinuating it's because he's black? You know, is he saying it's because, like, what is he saying? You know, like, that's a...
Well, probably because he's, like, on the top. Like, maybe to, like, make
Is that what he's saying?
It's because,
I just win so much. They want someone else to win. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's a bad look. That's a bad look to go on TV and say that the sport is conspiring against you to get you to, and they're cheating to keep you from winning.
Yeah. Maybe it was spoken
in... It's ridiculous.
In anger.
Of course. So anyway.
He usually... I mean, I don't know Lewis Hamilton personally.
Me neither.
But, I mean, it does kind of seem like he's the type to, like... kind of say things, he'll kind of be a little dramatic, but then he'll be like more level-headed later and
be like, oh, I'm sorry I said that guy.
Yeah, like, oh no, I own that, like, that was my mistake, whatever, you know. Yeah, like, sure, after sure. He's thought about it. So
sure, I could see that too. So all of this means Lewis did not tie Michael Schumacher's 91 win record.
Poor baby.
But it means that he has a chance to tie it in Germany.
Yeah, that's cooler. Cool. Anyway. Nobody cares about it.
So, moving on to Red Bull, you got anything else about Mercedes? Oh, no. Botas hit a bee.
Oh, right.
Botas ran into a bee. Apparently.
How could you?
It was like, it caused him to like accidentally overtake Lewis, which is a whole other thing. What? Yeah, I can't believe I almost forgot to mention that. That Botas.
So strange.
I hope I get this story right, but Botas like smashed into a bee. And then he was so startled that he like missed his braking zone. And then before he knew it, he had outbraked Lewis and was around the outside of turn two and overtook Lewis. Lewis overtook him back shortly after that.
This is part of the conspiracy. That bee was like a animatronic bee flown by the FAA stewards.
Exactly.
You've heard it first here.
Give it me. Oh, nice shot, Derek. Well done. That bee cost $20,000. 20,000 euro bee. Worth
it. The bee has landed.
Yeah. But my point is like, I'm totally stealing this point from another podcast from Jack Nichols on the BBC podcast, but I'll admit it. That's okay. If Botas basically admitted that he accidentally overtook Lewis. And so the whole point is like, what
were you like? Yeah, you were racing. Like, you're supposed to overtake people. Does he not know that?
Yeah, was it like, was your plan to not overtake him?
Were you going into that corner? Yeah.
Maybe, but probably not. I mean, I think that early in a race, they would be allowed to race. I would be super surprised
if
they...
Like, yeah, and it's like, he talks a lot about being a contender, so why would he... Yeah. Maybe he just, like, used a weird phrase. I mean, if this is all hinging on, like, one sentence maybe it was just...
Maybe, but it doesn't sound good to be like, I mean, especially for Botas at this part of the year, after all that's gone on for him this season, to make it sound like you're not willing to do something like try to overtake your teammate, like you have to do it on accident or something because you ran into a bee.
It's very strange. It's very strange. I don't understand.
Poor bee.
Yeah, well, all kinds of little critters probably get annihilated by...
They do. They do. But this bee, I mean, people are really buzzing about it.
Oh, I can't believe I laughed at that.
I'm sorry.
But bees are, you know, we need to help them out because, like,
they pollinate flowers and stuff.
Yeah, colony collapse.
So, go online and donate to your local...
bee fund.
Beehive place.
Just
Red Bull is next. So I said Max takes, the exit road at turn two on lap one, but still manages to shine again with a second place finish while Albon's race is spoiled by bad qualifying, a bad opening lap, and bad strategy. So remember Max at the beginning of the race, he had to go wide and then he just like gunned it through through the bollards.
Yes.
And then Sainz was right after him, but Sainz didn't do it
quite as well.
So Max, I mean, there's not much to say about Red Bull this race because Max finished in second, but his race was super boring.
Yeah.
The more interesting thing, even though it's kind of sad, is that Albon was just at the back the whole time.
I know. I didn't really understand. I kept being like, what happened to Albon? Like, why is he in, like, very last place? Like, he was fighting, like, in the very back.
I think, and I was like, did something happen? After examination, I have some answer to that. I think that, well, first of all, he qualified a second slower than Max. And so he started in the midfield. And then he had a bad opening lap where he lost several places. And so he was one of among a few who pitted really early. Like, to try to go onto the hard tires really, really early. Like, Lando did it. He did it. Russell did it. I can't believe there were a couple other.
Yeah, they were all kind of
and
struggling.
They pitted like lap like two. Like they
well,
just.
Well, that was during the safety car.
Even,
they went on hards for the after that.
Yeah, just like immediately, just lap one, lap two, just they immediately came in and they were already on hard tires and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
And so he was stuck at the back. He was at the back because he pitted and no one else did. And then he just couldn't get the tires to work. But he also still struggled to overtake Russell for a while.
Yeah.
In a Williams. Mm-hmm. You know, he finished behind Gasly. Gasly overtook him on the road.
Yeah.
He qualified behind Gasly. So, Albon, I don't know. I mean, the whole conversation you have to have at this point when you talk about Red Bull is, should Albon stay or should he go? You know, that's the conversation.
Yep.
But I think, honestly, at this point that Gasly doesn't want to go to Red Bull, mm-hmm. probably.
Maybe I can't imagine anyone would.
Yeah. It's just that's not really how they operate. They usually recruit from within, you mm-hmm. know. But I wouldn't want that job. You know, that job just eats you up, chews you up, spits you out.
I know, it's like cursed.
Yeah, especially because your teammate is Max Verstappen, and he's like, whatever, I'll drive whatever car, sure, give me a car. And then he's just like, second place, whoops.
Yeah, he doesn't care who his teammate is. He's like, I'm just going to be beating them.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, so instead of Ferrari next, I have McLaren.
Mm.
Next. So, Mercedes, Red Bull, McLaren. I said Sainz shunts on lap one.
Yeah.
For the second week in a row, actually.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And ruins his teammates' race in the meantime. Overall, bad day for McLaren, especially disappointing for Lando fans, although the young Brit did enjoy a good battle at the back of the field.
At the back, yeah. And it's all the, like, the young boys.
Yeah, it was all the Twitch boys. They were all Twitch buddies. Yeah. It was like Lando and George and Albon were all racing each other in real life instead of on a sim.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were all complimented about how gentlemanly they were, and they gave each other lots of space, and it was, you know, kind of the new era
of racing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. But that's Sainz.
How did Sainz mess up Norris's race?
Because when Sainz... Okay, so Sainz basically went too wide at turn two.
Yeah.
Which meant he had to go through those bollards, which were like one of the main stories of the race. It was such a boring race that those stupid bollards were like the main story. That if you went wide at turn two, you had to go slaloming through the bollards.
Mm-hmm.
And most people made it through fine. Grosjean didn't. And Sainz didn't. And Sainz, on the very first lap, he just had too extreme of an angle. And mm-hmm. when he was trying to come out of the bollards, he just clipped the wall. Because apparently, not clipped the wall. Yeah. He smashed the wall. And which is weird, because I don't know why they would have a wall, like, jutting out right there, mm-hmm. you know? And a lot of the drivers afterwards were like, turn two is ridiculous, because it's like, they set us up to go wide, and then they make us go through this weird thing, and then there's, like, a wall.
Like, trap.
The alternative would be to put gravel there, you know, mm-hmm. so that they just physically can't go wide, or the car stops.
Or they flip and roll,
or whatever. Hopefully not, but...
I know, yeah.
Or grass, you know, where you're physically penalized, right? Like, your car will slow down, because it cannot go.
There's a bunch of squishy stuff, you know.
Like, that foam stuff they put in a... kids' gymnasiums or something.
Like the pits where you get to like jump the in car the big just foam goes, pit. Boop. Oh my god, that was so fun.
Probably pretty dangerous though.
But
he ruined Lando's race because he was going through the bollards and then he hit the wall and smashed back onto the track, if you remember correctly.
I remember.
And Lando just, which is super dangerous. I mean, he could have easily, like, he almost took out Vettel. Vettel had to swerve to avoid him. If you go rewatch it, it was really close. He almost took out Vettel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lando just had to, like, almost come to a stop. He had to just really slow down because he was, you know, he would have just hit him. And so Lando lost, like, 10 places on the first lap.
Wow. Okay.
And then so McLaren did something similar with Lando that Red Bull did with Albon, where they were just like, well, our first lap, we just lost 10 places. We might as well shoot the moon with a strategy or something. Let's just bring him in, put mm-hmm. him on hard tires on lap two. And so Lando was basically fighting from the back on hard tires the whole time.
Yeah.
And he never really made it back up. He finished. Forget exactly what he finished. He finished. Oh, that's not where it is. I forgot. I closed it. But anyway. But yeah, it was a disappointing day for McLaren.
Yeah.
That's about all.
Oh, well, you know. Can't win them all.
You can't come and forth in the mall.
I know, right? Exactly.
Racing Point, I have next. Stroll is out qualified by a teammate in lesser equipment. Quickly makes up places on him and then is taken out on lap one by an unpenalized Charles Leclerc. So
yeah, boy.
So maybe some of that Ferrari international assistant. I mean, that is a little strange that Charles Leclerc would just like blatantly take out and someone else, and there was never even an investigation. Usually, there's like that little orange banner, and they're like, "We're looking into the incident between." There was like
everyone's
no.
Just like, nah, it's cool.
Everyone's like, "Who was it?" Stroll. All right, anyways. So,
sorry.
So, anyways, so yeah, taken out by unpenalized Charles Leclerc. Perez managed to hold station and finish where he started, which I think was fourth.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. Perez had a great move around Ricardo. Around like lap 15 or something like that, where Ricardo overtook him and then Perez overtook him back around the outside of a long right-hand corner. So that was kind of the most exciting part of the race for Racing Point. Not Stroll's fault. Not Stroll's fault. He was taken out by Leclerc. Leclerc just understeered into him into a right-hand corner, and that's it for Racing Point. Who cares? Whatever. Yeah. You know, Racing Point.
Right. Talk to me when you're Aston Martin.
I know. Talk to me when Vettel drives for you.
God, I know. We really demoted Ferrari in our...
they're not
I know.
But I did. I demoted them. Okay. I demoted them. Anyway. I didn't even notice it until you just pointed them out. But yeah, I haven't even mentioned them yet.
Yeah. Are they even on the list?
No, yeah, they are. I just kind of went in terms of like who did well, and they didn't do very well. So
when Charles go
next?
P6?
Yeah, Charles did fine. But next on the list is I know.
Okay.
Alpine. Next year, I get to say Alpine.
Alpine.
What'd you say about me? What'd you call me? Say that again. Right. Say that to my face. So, both cars run near the front of the field for most of the race, swap places, then are swapped back. Remember they kind of swapped places like shadily. I was convinced that Ocon passed him under the safety car, but apparently no one else noticed that besides me.
Did it actually happen?
No, I don't think so. But I still stand by what I think happened.
I saw it.
I know what I saw.
Conspiracies.
Conspiracies abound this week. So both cars run near the front, swap places, and then are swapped back. So Ricardo can attack the cars ahead after Ocon proves incapable of doing so. So
Ricardo, he did good.
Oh, and then Ricardo got a penalty because Ricardo went off trying when Ocon was letting him around. Ricardo outbraked himself.
Yeah, he messed it. He botched his own like overtaking
his teammate.
Overtaking his teammate. Like his teammate is like, "All right, go around." He's like,
"Ugh." Right. And maybe his, you know, speaking of conspiracy theories, I mean, his teammate could have picked an easier spot for him to go around. Instead of just, like, parking on the apex of a turn and making it a little bit harder than it needed to be.
Oh,
maybe.
Whatever, but come on. I mean, he should have had that.
Yeah.
I think I saw him, like, a state, you know, afterward. He was like, yeah, I messed that up. He's like, I knew I was getting a penalty before they, like, told me.
Yeah, like, and Sainz said the same thing. As soon as he hit the wall, he was like, "I'm sorry, guys, that was my bad."
Yeah.
You know, he didn't like.
Well, yeah, I mean, what is he going to
say? What was
that
stupid wall doing there or anything? I mean, he just basically was like, "Sorry, guys, that was my fault." But one thing I will also bring up about Renault and Ricardo and credit him for, too, is that when he did get the penalty, he didn't whinge about it.
Mm-hmm.
He just was like, "Okay, I'll go faster."
He did. That's great. Yeah, that's good. It's like, oh, that's a good way to be.
I gotta think of my Australian accent. That wasn't that wasn't a very good one.
It was almost maybe a little New Zealandish.
Maybe. AlphaTauri's next.
Okay. AlphaTauri's next.
Okay day from both drivers.
Um,
that's it. Kvyat was up in fourth at one place.
Oh. Like when everyone was pitting.
Yeah, and finished ahead of Gasly in his home race. So.
Oh, he did. Oh, good for him.
So,
for
you
once.
Know. Yeah, so AlphaTauri.
And they had fans there, so that might have been fun.
And they
for
had
him.
Fans. They had fans in Russia, which is crazy. I meant to mention that when we were talking about Sochi. But, yeah, I mean, leave it to the Russians, right? They're just like, yes, we have fans.
Right.
We do not have corona virus. We do not have corona virus.
Okay.
I love you Russian people, but
that's yeah. I remember Lewis Hamilton was saying that it was fun to have the fans there.
Oh,
like
Lewis
it actually
Hamilton
makes
loves
it,
the fans. I just
well,
want
sure
to say thanks
yeah,
to all the fans.
Right. But I do, I mean, I guess it's interesting that it does seem to actually make a difference. Like, they notice and care. I mean, Daniel Ricciardo, I read his little, like, journal on Twitter or whatever. He's like, I really miss the fans. Mm-hmm. It's like, real talk, y'all.
Okay.
We miss the fans. I was like, oh, okay. I'd be
I
like,
believe it.
Whatever.
I believe it. I mean, watching at home, you don't miss them very much. But, I mean, if
no.
you're, like, there, like, as a performer
it
and,
just
like, an
seems,
athlete.
Yeah, but you're, like,
that.
Yeah, right. I guess just when you're in the car, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, maybe. Depends on probably the circuit a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so now I have Ferrari.
Ferrari!
I said Leclerc may be the driver of the day in an otherwise uneventful race, while Vettel's once again outclassed. Stuck behind Giovinazzi even for a while.
Giovinazzi even.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I don't remember Vettel doing anything.
Vettel had some strong defense for a while, but the only reason he had strong defense was because he was just, like, holding up a train of cars, you know? So you don't really want to be in a position where that's the best thing people say about your race.
Yeah,
was that
yeah,
you strongly
yeah. Oh, you're
defended
really holding
against
up traffic.
The Renaults.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I did, spoiler, I did think Leclerc might be my driver of the day.
Yeah, cool.
Because when you look at his teammates' performance and where he finished compared to where Leclerc finished and what he did, you know, he's obviously...
Your hair looks so crazy right now.
Does it?
No, don't touch it. I'm going to take a picture. You have it's like a bouffant, like, over your headphones.
Well, I just had to get it out of my eyes. It was annoying me. Anyway, so...
Sorry, yeah.
So, that's shot. All. Leclerc had a great day. Vettel had a not great day. And again, it makes Leclerc look even better.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder again if Ferrari can give him good equipment, what he can possibly do with good equipment, because
well,
he sure can drive the heck out of that car right now when it's not very good.
Maybe
so.
This is like a sign of better equipment.
Maybe, but probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Two more I have. Haas, a killer start for Magnussen, who gains 9 spots.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
At the start, but both Haases fail to impress, ultimately dropping through the field, showing little race pace, though Magnussen did at one point run as high as 6th. So, an interesting day for Haas again, because they managed to make their way up the field at the beginning of the race, but then they just fall back. They just can't demonstrate that race pace, which has been the problem for them for 2 years. But yeah, killer start for Magnussen. That was really exciting. He had a stunning opening lap. To gain 9 places is like video game stuff. I guess there must have been some kind of shenanigans or something. I don't know how that happens
naturally.
Yeah, maybe
it was just like right place, right time, like with all the crashes and...
Yeah, I would have to go back and look at it, but, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all for Haas. Williams is next. Russell finishes last, is still cool, because,
Did Latifi not finish?
No, he did. Latifi finished ahead of Russell, actually.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Is that, like, the first time that's ever happened?
Not the first time, no.
Dang.
He's never outqualified him, but he has finished ahead of him. So, Russell finishes last, but shows his class during a battle at the back of the field with Albon and Norris, his Twitch buddies.
Battle of the losers.
Yeah, holding off the faster cars for the better part of a lap before ultimately giving up his position. So, Russell... You know, not too much to report up for the Williams aside from that battle Russell had at the back where he was genuinely racing two much faster cars and holding them off and battling with them for a while. And
yeah,
that was
that's good.
Again, just shows how good of a race driver George Russell is.
Mm-hmm.
He's extremely good. And if I weren't more tired, I would go on and on and on about it.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, who's your driver of the day?
Well, I hadn't really thought about it, but now I just want to say Leclerc because that's what you said.
All right, Leclerc's driver
like
of the day.
Yay!
Race rating, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. What do you rate this race?
What's a 5?
Hold on, I have to look. Edit.
I mean, I gotta be honest with you.
5 is a patchy race. A 4
yeah,
is
five.
A disappointing race.
A 5.
Okay.
Five. It was a 5. Because it was kind of exciting in parts.
Yeah.
But then it was also boring in parts.
I'll go 5 too, because I don't think it was, I don't think I was totally disappointed.
No.
And,
I wasn't.
And
I mean, I
disappointing
also
implies that you're like expecting something.
Yeah.
And then you're let down. And with Sochi, I'm not really
expectations
expecting.
Expectations are low.
Yeah. So I'll go patchy.
But it's Formula One, baby.
We need to do the ratings, the rankings.
We just did all so many ratings. What else ratings?
No, the standings,
points.
I should
okay.
say.
It's like I'm done ranking things for the day.
No, the standings. So in first place, Carl Hamilton with 205 points. Valtteri Bottas.
Yep.
Is in second place with 161 points.
Okay.
Max Verstappen of the Netherlands is in third place with 128 points.
Isn't it called the Low Country?
The Low Countries.
Countries.
I believe refers to Denmark and the Netherlands.
Fun. How many points? I was trying to think of the location.
128.
So, like, 20-something behind Bottas?
Excuse me, 40. 33 behind Bottas.
Okay.
Lando is in fourth, but he only has 65 points.
Oh, God.
He's ahead, though, of Max's teammate Alex Albon, who races under a Thai license.
Yes.
And then Danny Ricciardo is in sixth.
Danny. Oh, yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Daniel Ricciardo, who is undoubtedly listening in, because when I was painting the bathroom, we're painting all the rooms right now.
Mm.
I listened to a playlist on Spotify that was, like, all of his, like, Instagram songs.
Very cool.
And there were some bangers. It was all right. It was
okay.
Good. There's some skips, too, but
okay.
It was good paint the bathroom music. You know?
Good. Yeah, he'll be glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Danny, leave us a message, bro.
Yeah.
Charles is seventh with 57 points. Lance Stroll also has 57 points. He's from Canada.
Who?
Lance.
I'm going to keep using that.
Sergio.
Oh, Chris. Stop.
Is that how you say it? Sergio.
I guess it is now.
Perez. Is in ninth place with 56 points. So we got quite a battle here between 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Because there's only, I can't do the math very quickly, but 9 points separating all of those positions.
Hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre Gasly is in 10th. So there you go. There's your top 10.
Okay.
So it goes Lewis, Valtteri, Max, Lando, Alex, Dan, Chuck, Lance, Checo, Pierre.
Pierre. Gross.
Well, I mean,
stop
it's French, you know?
Noises.
I mean, that's what French sounds like. Mercedes is winning the Constructors'
For
Championship.
Now.
For now. We'll see about Racing Point. We'll see about those AlphaTauri guys. I don't know. They have 366 points.
That sounds like a lot.
And yeah, and it does sound like a lot, but it's going to sound like a lot more when you hear that Red Bull has 192.
Yeah.
In second place. And then McLaren in third at 106.
Like literally twice as many.
Almost, as Red yeah. Bull. Almost twice as much, yeah.
I mean, close.
So that's the top three. We can just do the top three. Mercedes, yeah, Red Bull, McLaren. Fine. That's about it. And we have one of the best tracks in the world coming up next.
Oh, wait, what is it?
It is, well, it's called the Eiffel Grand Prix.
Yeah, that was confusing me.
Because that's like, the mount.
That's in France.
Well, that there's a tower in France. What am I talking about? I'm confused and angered by that. That confuses and angers me. It is named after the range of mountains.
The Eiffel Mountains.
In the vicinity.
Or I've never heard of those.
In the Umgang.
Ooh, I like that. It sounds like
which I think means vicinity in German. Mm. Surroundings, something like that.
Love it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Email me. Tell me. Email me in German.
He would love that.
At gmail.com. That's it. So we have the Eiffel Grand Prix next. The track is the Nürburgring. But it's not the very long one. It's the Nürburgring that's designed just for Formula One cars, but it still is a really, really, really cool
track. They usually track. Don't race there.
No, we've never seen. Yeah. You and I have. It will be our first to watch there together.
Cool. That'll
be fun. So it's exciting. And with that, then we can sign off. You got anything else?
Nope. Awesome. That's it.